You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Glorious Thursday made better by the presence of the man himself. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check him out, aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, we started hearing from some of the individuals involved in this big tilt that has been moved to the afternoon on Sunday, and interestingly, we did not see Jaden Daniels able to practice for the Washington Commanders, and Caleb was asked about it, and he always sounds good at the podium and said all the right things and says he hopes the kid plays, etc. He's not caught up in storylines. I wonder, Brad, if Daniels doesn't practice today, can a rookie maybe be limited on Friday or able to practice Friday and then start on Sunday with a rookie quarterback, given all the, and I'm sure he's taken part and everything, but if he's playing, doesn't he have to have some limited contribution this afternoon?
I would think so, but I wouldn't rule anything out. And I think Dan Quinn telegraphed which direction this is going already this week when he described him as week to week. If he would have said day to day, I would be more optimistic about the possibility of Jaden Daniels suiting up and playing on Sunday. But when he termed him week to week, that that makes me think, well, guy's going to miss 1 week anyway most of the time. So I would imagine while the Bears are considering what both quarterbacks can do, that they're figuring Marcus Mariota will start on Sunday.
Brad, we asked during the pick six this question and want you to weigh in as well. Which do you think the Bears would rather face, a banged up Jaden Daniels or a healthy Marcus Mariota?
Oh, boy. Jaden Daniels has been pretty darn good. Like, you start looking at some of the numbers he's put up to this point. First in the league in completion percentage, sixth in passer rating, and then he's run for almost 400 yards. Like, he's within like 80 yards rushing of the Cowboys' team total. Now, Dallas is a complete mess right now, but that's a good question. You know, Mariota is, I think he's in a good spot there. I think this is a good system for him as a backup, and you could look at him as one of those, you know, higher level QB2 guys. I don't think you want him starting for you, but I guess I'd say Mariota. I don't know.
Well, it's
a little bit of a loaded question.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Here's the thing, Brad.
Wow.
I mean, the guy was clocked earlier this year at 21.8 miles an hour. That's like, I'm not sure my car can get up that fast.
Well, and that's what's crazy. Like, people asked yesterday, like, do you have a different plan for these quarterbacks? And I'm thinking, Mariota moves really well, folks. Like, he might not be as dynamic and slippery and elusive as Jaden Daniels, but he moves really well. And so you've got a plan for the ability to stop the run by the quarterback, which has been a big part of that offense to this point this season. Like, the Commanders have run the ball really well. So I think from that standpoint, the Bears aren't really spending a whole lot of time wondering who it's going to be and how they're going to handle it, because these guys have very similar skill sets in terms of athletic ability. And I think one plan for Jaden Daniels will fit pretty nicely probably for Marcus Mariota, because really you're looking to, okay, you know, where's their strength on the offensive line? How are we going to attack their weakness on the offensive line? What do we think about this? That kind of stuff doesn't change from quarterback to quarterback.
Okay, Brad, let me ask you a question you won't be scared by. So what did you think of the Caleb Williams answer to whether or not he's getting into these other storylines going back home Sunday?
Shoot, he said he's been back home once or twice since he went to Oklahoma. So I don't think, and you consider they're going to take off probably Saturday early afternoon and get there Saturday mid-afternoon. I don't think Caleb's overreacting to this. I don't think he's putting – I think it's another game for him. I really do. I think he is professional in his approach. He's mature beyond his years, so – I don't look at this as some kind of situation where this is going to be some big-time deal for him. I think he's just looking at it as the game that they've got this week.
Yeah, I like that answer, and I don't know how he feels emotionally about returning or the memories and all the people that will be there supporting him, but I think he strips it down to a point where he says, my job is to win, be it a Sunday, a Thursday, a Monday, and that's my job, and I'm just going to concentrate on what I have to do. I think it's a smart way of approaching a larger issue.
Absolutely. Yeah. You don't want to have this question in your mind, oh, geez, is this going to be distracting to him? Does he have 250 friends that are going to be there? You know, there's just so little time when these guys are on the road because their time's pretty much accounted for with meetings and meals and that type of thing that, you know, I don't think anything's really going to get in the way of him. And I wasn't surprised by his answer that he's just, yeah, because he's all business. He really is.
So, Brad, I think the Commanders' offensive line has been a big part of their early success. When you look at the Bears' offensive line, how do you expect it to line up this week, given everyone's sort of iffy health status, and yet don't know where Tevin Jenkins is? We heard that Borum is back. I don't know where things stand. How would you think they're going to line up, especially in the interior?
I think we're going to see the same starting five that we've seen for a couple weeks now. I don't think we're going to see any changes there. Tevin will be at left guard. You'll have Coleman Shelton at center and Matt Pryor at right guard. And Larry Borum returned to practice yesterday. I would think he probably practices at least 2 weeks before they consider activating him on the roster again. You know, he's been out for quite a while. He was injured, what was it, like August 23rd or something, was that preseason finale at Kansas City. So he's been on the shelf for a while. I think they'll want to be smart with that. So you'll see the same starting five, and then possibly Ryan Bates starts his practice window maybe next Wednesday, and then they'd have another option to consider here as they get into November.
Nate Davis, do you keep him on the inactive list because you're going to trade him for Max Crosby? How do you work that out?
That
might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I mean, this idea, like, I had a guy yesterday and it was something else going to affect a Nate Davis trade. And I'm like, no, Nate Davis is going to affect a Nate Davis trade. That's why it's not going to happen, right? I think the Bears, The Bears put Bill Murray, who had taken zero NFL snaps, on the field ahead of Nate Davis. And then the following week, Davis was healthy and active. And you think one of the other 31 teams is going to say, oh, yeah, you guys owe him about another $4 million this season? Sure. Send him our way. Like, why would they give up an asset for that? Maybe something stuns me here. Maybe he's got a former position coach that he had a fantastic relationship with and a team's in dire straits and something comes together. But barring something like that developing, I'd be stunned if there was a trade partner for him.
Back to the Commanders. They're off to a very good start, and we pay a lot of attention to Jaden Daniels because he's the biggest reason why. But the running game has been very good, too. Third in the league in terms of average rushing yards per game. How much of that is the offensive line and the good backs they have in Robinson and Eckler, and how much of that is Jaden Daniels averaging over 50 yards rushing per game?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think what it is it's kind of a combination of both. But Daniels has a heck of a lot to do with that. And it's the same impact or effect on the entire running game that you saw Justin Fields have when he was with the Bears. And you saw the Bears ranking at or very near the top of the league in rushing. And that's why going into this year, you looked at it and you said, hey, this has been a really good rushing offense. What is it going to be like without the quarterback being such a huge part of it? And what we've seen is they've had some struggles at times, right? It has not been great, and it's gotten better here the last couple weeks. But I think Robinson's a good, solid back. I think Eckler's probably past his prime, still dangerous in the open field, can hurt you a little bit in the passing game. But he's not like he was 3-4 years ago. But I think it's Daniels' ability and the threat of Daniels keeping the ball that's really helped out that running game.
Brad, Montez Sweat led both of these teams in sacks a year ago, oddly enough, after doing so well in Washington, then traded to Chicago. He gets a $100 million deal, and he's still as relentless and motivated as ever. I going back against this team, I wonder how well he can play in this game, and if indeed it is Daniels, and even if it's Mariota for that matter, if they're running a system whereby they're looking to get the quarterback into space and they're looking to run the ball occasionally from that position and for big gains. Do you have to kind of mush rush? Does he have to contain himself? How do you handle a guy who's as good an athlete as he is and as fast as he is? How do you tell him, well, we got to make sure we contain him more than go get him? Or do you want him to go get him?
Yeah, I think that's a fine line where you don't want to tell a player like Montez Sweat, who's so athletic and strong and physically gifted, to not be aggressive. But at the same time, you know what, if he bends the edge there, thinks he has a path and goes for it, and then you've got no one on that edge over there and he doesn't make the play, well, you could have an issue, right? You could have a quarterback going for 15 yards. You could have a quarterback going for 25 yards running the football. So you want him to remain super aggressive, but you see that, and that's how that's such a common plan for handling some of the more athletic quarterbacks who are better movers, is you attempt to keep them in the pocket, and that requires being real disciplined on the edge. But he's such a freak that you'd have to feel like he's got a real shot against Jaden Daniels or Marcus Mariota or or heck, if they bring back, you know, Gus Frerotte or Heath Shuler, you
oh
feel like
gosh.
He's got a shot to win that.
Senator Shuler, to you, Brad. So
oh,
when we hear from Shane Waldron later today, what do you expect the tone to be? And do you think he'll be asked whether or not he evaluated or how he evaluated Jaden Daniels in the pre-draft process?
Oh, I'm sure that seems like a storyline that's not going to go away anytime soon. And I would think you'll get like a very pleasant non-answer to that. But yeah, he should be upbeat today. They've been playing well.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll be asked about, you know, self-scouting over the bye week. I don't know that you find any magic answers when you do that, because as Eberflus said yesterday, you know, they're taking a look at a lot of this stuff in game, after the game, the morning after the game. So it's not like they got to the bye week and said, "Okay, guys, you know, we haven't done real well in the first quarter. We've got 10 points in the first quarter this season. We need to take a look at that." Like they've been chipping away at that all along. It just hasn't, they haven't broken through yet. So I'm sure that'll be a topic. And it's a valid one. But there are some areas they've been fantastic. They're third in the league in red zone offense. So that's worked out really well. They need to start faster. They need to be more effective on third down, which usually starts with having better plays on first and second down, and probably need to run the ball a little bit more consistently. But otherwise, I think they've developed and come along nicely.
I was amused by DJ Moore at the podium yesterday, asked about that 230-yard performance a year ago,
That
breakthrough game for him. And he was like, "Yeah, well, you always remember that kind of thing." I thought it was kind of funny. And we obviously talk to him every week. What did we saw them have the sort of Keenan Allen breakout game. We got to get the ball to Keenan Allen. Is this getting the ball down the field to DJ again? Or is Roma Dunze going to have his breakout game at some point here? They seem spoiled for choice as to who to feature.
Yeah, well, and that's a great problem to have.
Yeah.
And that, the Commanders, that like Jack Del Rio's game plan for that, what was it, week 5 meeting a year ago was, ugh. I think that ended up getting Jack run out of there pretty quickly after that. But they kind of had static coverage, and so it was pretty easy for the Bears to pick them apart. And Justin made a couple nice throws, and DJ made some even nicer catches. Whose turn is it this week? I don't know. You do have to look out for the pass rush, because that's a defensive front that doesn't have any name edge rushers. You know, Dante Fowler was the third pick in the draft, whatever it was, 7 or 8 years ago. He's had some impact for them, but they're getting home and they're producing. So it's going to be a better pass rush than the Bears have seen in the last 3 games at least. What you look at, though, is that when the Commanders haven't gotten home, they've been susceptible to some big plays. They've got a lot of heavy lifting to do on that roster in the offseason ahead. They've got deficiencies in the secondary, and so their big plays are there to be made, and the Bears have just got to block it up.
Is there anything that Cliff Kingsbury knows about Caleb Williams that can help the Commanders prepare for him?
I don't think so. You know, like, you know, the obvious stuff, like you don't want to let him beat you with those second reaction off script plays. Like, I don't think you have to spend time on the staff with him for a season to look at it and see that. Nothing that would strike me as like, oh, hey, this will be some big clue that the guy can go to Dan Quinn and the defensive coaches about.
All right, Big Z, we will look forward to the pick tomorrow. That should be a lot of fun.
Thanks, Brad.
Well, and another NFC North tussle. Well, you got an NFC North team involved tonight. Vikings on the road on a short week out in L.A. So that'll be interesting to watch to see how they rebound after what had to be a deflating home loss this past week to Detroit.
And we should get into it maybe at some point. Robert Saleh, now a problem, joining the Flower in Green Bay.
Yeah, to advise the offense because he doesn't want him stepping on the toes of the dude he gets supported.
I think it's just so they can go out to dinner and badmouth Rodgers.
Oh, wow.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
All right.
This segment with Brad Biggs, sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com.
Something about that Vikings-Rams game tonight that I want to ask you about when we come back.
All right, buddy. 312-644-6767. It's Molly and On the Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Not surprised. You know, I think he's done a great job for the first 2 years, you know, with a variety of different situations that have presented themselves. I think he's got a great coaching staff. You know, they've done a great job of being able to add players that fit the identity that they want to play with. But Kevin's a guy that was a tremendous positive impact influence, you know, as a made a tremendous influence and impact as a coach here. I'm not surprised, and I'm happy for those guys. And, you know, we'll give him our best shot on Thursday.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's my favorite coach in the league. That is Sean McVay.
I'm
a lot of people don't love him, but
I'm glad
I do.
You're honest about that.
I love Sean McVay.
Yeah.
He's a brilliant man. He's a genius. And if he sneezed in your presence, you get a head.
You love his photographic memory, too.
I do. I mean, he could literally rattle off anything he wants. He's talking about Kevin O'Connell, who would work for him. Kevin O'Connell has done a great job with the Vikings this year, and I don't know that he has exceeded Sean McVay, but he's done a really good job.
Oh, he's not exceeded Sean McVay.
No one has.
Well, okay, wait a second.
Let's back off a second.
He said, before we move further, I want to know, favorite coach, does that mean best coach?
Is Sean McVay the best coach
in
the NFL?
Yes, I'm asking you that. Do you think he is the best head coach in the NFL?
Would I swap out a coach for Sean McVay?
What coach would you rather have than Sean McVay? If you had to pick any coach to coach your team, you have just inherited a football team.
Sean McVay.
Really?
Yeah, he's a young enough guy that he could take. He could be Don Shula. You could have that guy be the. He could literally run your team for 25 years.
Sean McVay, Andy Reid. Sean McVay?
Sean McVay.
Sean McVay, Mike Tomlin. Sean McVay?
Oh, my God. Not even close.
Sean McVay, John Harbaugh.
Sean McVay?
Oh, why?
Why?
He's a stud.
He's won a Super Bowl.
So is John Harbaugh.
I'm taking Sean McVay.
Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan.
I thought you said Jim Harbaugh.
No, I said John.
Okay. Kyle Shanahan hasn't won
either Harbaugh.
Super Bowl.
Either Harbaugh.
McVay.
You're just sticking with the bit.
I like McVay. Yeah, it's like not your, a bit. Yeah, you know.
Okay.
You know that I like Sean McVay.
I know.
You can badmouth him all you want.
I'm not badmouthing him. I like him, too.
He's a great coach.
I like him, too. I like the way that he won a Super Bowl.
He did so as a child. I believe he was 16.
I like the way that he was intimidated by Bill Belichick in the first one.
Yeah, he tried to hug Bill, which Bill is not a hugger. He hugs about as much as Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think that he is definitely top five NFL head coach.
I like Bill Belichick, too, if that matters.
I know you do. You quote him every Monday morning and every Tuesday morning and then every Thursday morning. I can't wait for tomorrow.
Well, as Bill would say.
That's your favorite line of the season.
That is not true.
As Bill would say.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to the task at hand. So tonight, we've got the Rams, we've got the Vikings. We got a very good... Al Michaels is going to be very pleased tonight, I think.
It's a good game.
It's going to be fun. There is
This is the Rams season, by the way. Can we just get that settled? Oh,
if they lose tonight...
That's it.
They're going to be more than just...
You may as well trade Cooper Kupp.
They're trying.
I know.
They're definitely trying. Cooper Kupp, by the way, had a very interesting thing on the podcast. We're getting way off far afield here, but did you see where he stopped Zach LaVine in a high school basketball game when they were matched up and he held him to like 14 points? And Zach was asked about it yesterday in New Orleans before the opener with the Pelicans, and he remembered that, and he said that, he remembered it like it was yesterday.
Really?
Cooper Kupp shut down Zach LaVine in a high school basketball game.
That's fantastic. I did not know that.
I'm surprised you're admitting that.
Yeah.
I deal with truth here, Dustin. I don't try to manufacture things that aren't true.
I'm surprised admitting that. It's a fact.
It's a fact. Certain facts still exist. All right. Let's not digress any longer. Mike Florio, our guy.
Yes.
Every Tuesday, we are privileged to talk to him from ProFootballTalk.com. Floated the idea that the Rams would trade Matthew Stafford to the Vikings.
Yes.
The Vikings, by the way, don't have a quarterback issue right now because Sam Darnold has been one of the more pleasant surprises in the NFL. They're off to a fantastic start because of Kevin O'Connell, because of Sam Darnold. Mike suggested that because the Rams are in the state that they're in, that maybe Matthew Stafford to the Vikings would make sense. I don't know if it makes any sense.
Well, okay. I mean, I don't believe that Mike started it. I think it's one of these social media-driven ideas. And Mike was on with Paul Allen, the great horse racing caller from Minnesota. And he does Paul's show as he does our show. And Mike said that if you had a chance to swap Sam Darnold for Matthew Stafford this year, who wouldn't do that? Who would not do that? And I mean, he's basically saying, make an argument that Matthew Stafford isn't the better of the two quarterbacks and wouldn't get you farther this year. And Matthew Stafford famously went from Detroit to LA and won a Super Bowl. He has that designation. They've already got their quarterback of the future.
Okay, this is how things work, though.
Right? So McCarthy's – here's the problem.
J.J. McCarthy's there. But you know what? If they are where they are this season, the future matters less than the present. And that was his argument, that if you are going for it this year and you have Matthew Stafford who's available and his connection with Kevin O'Connell being what it is
– Yes.
This is the way MSN.com aggregated and reported what Mike – Florio said. Mike Florio reported that the Rams are exploring the idea of trading Cooper Kupp, suggesting they would also entertain offers for Stafford, given his uncertain future with the franchise. And then he is quoted as saying, the Rams have been taking a year-to-year approach to Stafford. A revision to his contract aimed at giving him security didn't provide much. Retirement by Stafford or an offseason release or trade is very possible. Why not trade him now?
Here's why. According to SpotTrack, which is an aggregation of all the salaries in the league, Matthew Stafford is making $46 million this year.
Well paid.
So
he's well paid.
I'm just saying, why don't we make a trade? We'll trade, Khalil Herbert for Max Crosby and Miles Garrett.
Throw Nate Davis. Just, Listen, I did not create this.
You know, the reason you don't make that trade, yeah. I'm not exasperated, because it's insane. $46 million, how much cap space do they have? And, I mean, is he a better quarterback? Would you get a more certainty out of Matthew Stafford than Sam Darnold? Yeah, perhaps.
Absolutely.
But the money would make it almost prohibitive to make that kind of a move.
Perhaps it would. It just is fun to consider. I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think the Rams would be wise to even shop Matthew Stafford.
Who would do it? Like, who would you say could definitely do that? First of all, Kevin O'Connell might win the Coach of the Year award because of the job he's done with
Sam
Darnold.
So far, slow down.
I'm just saying, we're
6-7 games in.
They were as good losing to Detroit as Detroit was
Ragnar,
in beating them.
I mean, come on. The Vikings are off to a good start, but we have seen teams fizzle, and we have seen guys who are off to good starts come back to earth. I expect that to happen pretty, I don't want to say quickly, but it wouldn't shock
for
me
that for a while.
If Sam Darnold, what's 5 or 6, was it week 7?
Yeah, it's already week 7.
All right, good for Sam Darnold. He's had 7 good weeks.
In the old days, you'd be halfway through the season.
Yeah, way back when.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't think that of all the teams in the NFC North,
yes,
the Vikings, despite the record right now, are the one that I would expect to come back to earth a little bit, to fall off more so. I have more confidence in the Packers moving forward than I do the Vikings. I have definitely more confidence in the Lions, who I think are probably the class of the NFC right now, then
yeah,
I do.
I think that's misplaced confidence.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I just think that the Hutchinson injury will eventually catch up with them. I don't know when it will happen, but it will happen. I also wonder if Jared Goff can keep up this pace through the rest of the season.
Don't you have more confidence in Goff than you do Darnold?
Oh, well, yeah, but that's not – I mean, I probably have more confidence in Stafford than I do Goff just for this year.
Right.
If I could trade Goff back to L.A. for Stafford
– No, it's not happening.
I just love the idea of, like, trades that aren't going to happen. But,
well, there's a lot of that going around because the active trade market already 3 weeks, 2 weeks before the deadline – we saw Max Crosby having to address it during his podcast.
That was hilarious.
It was.
Did you see that thing? Max Crosby said, I can't turn on my phone. He said that the social media has been overwhelming him. And every time he goes anywhere, does anything, it's go to the Lions, go to the Lions, go to the Lions, go to Atlanta, go to the Bears. He said that it's gotten completely, I believe he used that, it's gotten blanking out of control.
I get it, though.
He had to use
it's
a custom.
It's fun. I mean, yeah, it's the Raiders deserve all that because of the speculation. They get rid of players once they get good enough. They don't keep them. I mean, Davante Adams, Khalil Mack, we can go through the list. And yep. Max Crosby is the latest example of a guy being floated in trade rumors.
So they're already in sell-off mode.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't stun me if they actually did trade him. I think with the Rams, if they are shopping Cooper Kupp, as has been reported, if you're going to trade him, and if when is Puka Nacua, is he coming back anytime soon?
I think he is coming back soon.
Okay, so then maybe you don't want to trade your quarterback, but if they lose this game tonight, and the odds are they probably aren't good enough to win this game tonight, then I would seriously wonder if they should trade Cooper Kupp. Why not? You know, Nacua kind of had a breakout year a year ago when Kupp got hurt.
What's the benefit of trading Cooper Kupp?
You get something back and you lose a big salary. And then you can move
forward.
Where
are you going as a franchise?
Well, I mean, again, if you're going to trade Cooper Kupp, you may as well trade Matthew Stafford because you're going nowhere.
It seems like a made-up thing.
But if you lose tonight, you're not going anywhere. You're already – what is their record going into this game? They need to win this game, or their season is pretty much effectively over.
They do need to win this game. I do think it's important, but I don't know how we got to the point where the NFL trade deadline has become as crazy to consider and anticipate and predict as the other trade deadlines in pro sports. It's difficult to change teams in the NFL, more difficult than any – other sport.
Apparently not for receivers, because those guys are getting traded left and right.
Well, receivers and pass rushers, I think, have the easiest time adapting to their new teams. which position is easier to adapt quicker to. That's a good debate. But we have seen the receivers being moved, and I think part of it is because of the persona of the position. Hmm. These guys are mini divas. Some of them not so many. How about Davante Adams? He's been in New York 5 minutes, and he's holding locker room speeches and giving fire and brimstone talks because he felt like he had to. He doesn't even know everybody in his locker room.
You know, it's funny. It's like you just said that that wide receivers and pass rushers are guys that can come in and make an immediate impact. Now, they're playing who? They're playing the Patriots next, but they got a wide receiver and they got a pass rusher. Hassan Reddick is back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying, if a team could get better, and again, the quarterback has to get better, but if a team were to get better, it would be the Jets. Number one, they're playing a bad team, and they got those two positions you just mentioned as easy to fill.
They're still a mess.
Okay.
Both things can be true. Pass rusher and wide receiver, easiest positions to adapt to in season, and B, the Jets are a mess.
What are you expecting from DeAndre Hopkins? Again, he does not come
the Mahomes
with
effect,
the time machine.
The Mahomes effect.
But if he did.
Andy Reid effect.
If he came like 5 years ago, oh my God.
Yeah, but it's not 5 years ago. But you know what? The time machine that he has a benefit and the advantage of having is the impact of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes.
I just don't know if he can run anymore, if he can stay on both
He still
feet.
Has that meniscus that was a problem in the offseason.
Exactly.
And so he's not fully healthy. But even him at compromised health or less than 100% is better than what the Chiefs had.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair assessment of it. I'm hoping the Bears jump on board and take advantage of this trade deadline and add something that could help them moving forward, whether it be a pass rusher, which I doubt it'll be one of the real good ones. I don't think they want to spend that kind of money, or an offensive lineman that might be able to fit in and help them moving forward.
Tough to do that in season.
Yeah, I know, but it's fun to think about. All right, we've got your calls coming, 312-644-6767. I guess we got to get back to the Bulls. I don't know why, because it was a disappointing start to
the
season, but whatever. They lost a game. News at 10. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
I thought he played a decent game. He had 14 points, 5 rebounds, and then you look at his assist total. He had 3 assists, did a good job of pushing the basketball. So I thought it was a very good opening game for him. But still, you can still see the ball handling responsibilities throughout the whole team. They haven't been defined as of yet.
Yeah.
But that's going to happen in the first game. And like I said before, I'm sure Billy will find a way to work all of that out.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is the voice of Kendall Gill. We'll talk to him in just a little bit. He was on the post-game show and talking about, I guess he liked Josh Giddey's game.
He did.
He liked it more than I did.
He did more than you did.
Yeah.
Because I think he liked the way that he pushed the issue by attacking and driving to the basket. And then he had a couple layups as a result. One of those layups he missed, and then he had a putback, which bothered you. But I think Josh Giddey had 14 points, shot 5 for 11 from the field, and overall in 30 minutes didn't look like a weakness.
5 rebounds, 3 turnovers. I'll be really curious to see him play against Oklahoma City. They've got the Bucks next, and then the team that dumped him, right? Is that fair to say?
They dumped him.
They made a trade.
Yes.
He was a good young player that lost his minutes, lost his starting position as they were inching ever toward the playoffs, and he seemed to lose some confidence.
They dumped him before
Oklahoma
they traded
City.
Him.
Yeah, they did.
They dumped him out of the rotation.
They did.
So he was
and then
a guy they gave up on.
And he kind of rebuilt himself a little bit with the Australian team in the Olympics.
He really did. Confidence came back.
Yes.
He looked like a guy you could trust.
But he got hurt.
Then he got hurt, and now he's working his way back.
Yeah.
He's going to be a big part of this Bulls team, whatever it becomes. Last night, it did not look like it would become much.
But
that was a disappointing opener.
They did not pay him. they had the opportunity if
prove
they
it.
Wanted to.
They have a, he's and in a prove it season.
I think that's a wise move
I
on
can
their
respect
part.
That. It's yeah. smart, and it's going to be interesting to see how his approach, as we saw last night in a glimpse, he's attacking the basket. He's not shooting a ton of threes. He's not that guy mm-hmm. because he doesn't make a lot of threes. But the Bulls want to be a three-point shooting team. They shot 10 for 34 last night.
Yeah.
That is, number one, not a high enough percentage. But number two, they're not taking enough threes based on what the preseason looked like.
You sure it was 34?
Yes, I am sure. Okay. 10 for 34. Compare that to, say, the Orlando Magic, next week's opponent. They beat the Blazers last night, 116-97. They took 49 threes and made 18.
There are some ridiculous point totals.
Like the Warriors, they scored 139 in victory. And you know what? They shot 48 threes. I know it's the Warriors. They hit 20. But the point being, you're seeing teams shoot more than 45 threes in a game and having success doing that. I wonder if that is Billy Donovan's ideal outcome. Win a game and shoot more than 45 threes. Is that the pace at which he wants to play?
Yeah, I think that in order to do that, they need to shoot earlier in the shot clock than they managed last night. And
remember that analogy dropped on us? The best shots come in the first 7 seconds of the, yes, each possession.
Yes.
You didn't see that a lot last night.
No, you didn't. Well, they were too busy turning the ball.
That's true.
What did they have, 21 turnovers?
21 turnovers, 30 points off those turnovers. That's a bad debut. That's a team that looked like they were meeting for the first time in the parking lot.
31 points off those turnovers. It felt like every time they turned the ball over, someone was going the other way wide open for a dunk, a layup. You know what I mean?
They really
like
it, did.
And again, they were in that game for a while at the end of the first half when Zach LaVine sort of got –
he
just
kind of
took over the game.
Started to feel
a little
it.
Bit. Yeah.
19 points at halftime.
Yeah.
Did you feel like at times that Stacey King was disappointed in the effort level of the Bulls because he referenced a couple times, dive on the floor, and Javonte Green, we saw,
yes,
show the kind of intensity the Bulls weren't really showing.
And I believe he actually said that at one point,
yeah,
that Javonte Green is showing you how to play.
Yep. That's, yeah, not a good sign either in the opener. If you're going to be amped for any game, you would think it would be in the opening game of the season.
They're still figuring things out, obviously, and they need more three point shooting, and they need more 3-point makes. And we'll talk to Kendall about this. We'll bring in Kendall Gill, and we'll get an opportunity to talk to him about the Bulls' season opener and what you saw. And listen, it's never easy to open on the road, and it was easier because Zion Williamson didn't play. But we'll get a chance to pick that game apart a little bit with Kendall Gill. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app